Whether you're a duck or whether you're a beaver, your fantasy team needs a new receiver. It's Danny and Dusty at lunchtime every day. Maybe you're a tortured fan of Rip City. Danny and Dusty are here to take pity, hoping there's not a center with bad knees on the way. Talking noon till 3, Danny and Dusty on the Fan. Yep, I'm singing again, cause they haven't said I can't. Danny and Dusty love the teams the rest of us revile. Raising a Blazers banner would make it all worthwhile. Noon till 3,
an Odyssey station.
All right, hour number 2, Danny Dusty with you on this Tuesday. Thank you for being part of our day, letting us be a part of yours, whether it's on 1080 AM, 99.5 HD2, the Odyssey app, youtube.com/1080AM The Fan, or twitch.com/1080AM The Fan.
Or
thank you for partying along with us.
Hmm.
Yeah. Hey, Danny, did you know that the NBA regular season starts tonight?
I did.
Did you know that?
I did.
I figured, I didn't know if you were keeping tabs on this or not.
I may or may not be entirely geeked.
Oh, just a little bit. The greatest time of the year. NBA regular season starts. The World Series starts on Friday, and it's Yankees-Dodgers. We can hate watch it
right
collectively as a whole.
My family will love watch it because they're all Dodgers fans.
Yeah.
You know.
Yeah. Well.
This will probably be the one time I root for the Dodgers.
I'm going to root for the Dodgers.
Somebody said that the Yankees and Dodgers are the most hated teams in baseball, and I don't think that's true.
No. The most hated team in baseball is the Houston Astros, and it's not even particularly
close. I think the Yankees are right there.
Yeah.
And then after that,
I think the Dodgers are just because they pay for it. Like, they have a lot of Laker vibes about them, like, oh, future Dodger, and you're just like, shut up.
But here's the thing, though. Outside of the Padres and the Giants, who actually hates the Dodgers?
I think a lot of the country does.
You think so?
I think
I don't think so, because Mookie's,
it's nowhere
Mookie's
close
lovable,
to the Yankees.
Shohei's lovable.
Yeah.
Freddie Freeman's lovable. Like,
well,
what?
Is he?
Freddie Freeman?
Yeah. Are you
kidding? Yeah, we love Freddie Freeman. Freddie Freeman's great.
Dude's got some chompers.
He's got a kid who's lovable.
Yeah.
Like,
he's a great guy.
Great
did you see the hug with the Braves?
Come on now.
He loves the Atlanta, too.
All right. Well, screw me, I guess.
Yeah. No,
yeah, screw you.
Like, the high appeal and Q rating for the Dodgers, like, they don't really have any hateable dudes.
They're whiny. Dave Roberts.
Well, I think Dave Roberts is a big part of that.
Can I send you to just look at the NLDS?
Yeah.
Right? I mean, the whiny, they are whiny, and their fans are... It's their fans, too, you know?
Oh, and I'm not going to argue with the fans. The fan base is very Laker-esque and Cowboy-esque, for sure.
But I'm with you. I don't like the Yankees. I'm pulling for the Dodgers because my dad's a Dodger fan. He's from L.A. I'm pulling for the Dodgers.
Mm.
I hate the Yankees.
I do, too.
Yeah.
I am very, look, I hate the Yankees, but I am very, very, very interested in watching Soto, Stanton, Judge.
Yeah. Yeah.
In the World Series.
Yeah. I mean,
like, that's terrifying.
Like, my great grandfather pitched for the Yankees. I can't stand the Yankees.
I get it.
I should be a Yankee fan. Yeah. I'm not.
Oh, my grandfather, yeah, he was a huge Yankee guy.
Do not, will not.
He came from Connecticut, so it's not his fault, but.
Yeah. Damn. All right. Well, you got the World Series, got the NFL, got college football, got the NBA regular season starting tonight. TNT doubleheader tonight kicks off the NBA season with the Knicks in Boston for the ring ceremony. They're going to raise a banner against the Celtics. And then the Timberwolves head to L.A. to take on the Lakers. Lakers!
Have you seen that guy lately?
No.
Because that clip is like 20 years old now.
Is it really?
Yeah.
That guy, he is Laker fan in my mind
he's
forever.
He's been in a tanning bed since then.
Oh, really?
It's bad.
Oh, well, you know.
It's bad.
You hate to see it.
Yeah, he's living the L.A. life, as it were.
Question for you. How in the world has the Blazers win total dropped from 22.5 to 21.5?
People are betting it down.
So many people are taking the under.
Mm-hmm. Look, this is what's funny. The Blazers win against Sacramento and Utah in the preseason, and all of a sudden, I don't know, Danny, I can see it, 38-42 wins, Donovan Klingon, probably a starter. I'm like, where's the nearest bridge? I want to jump off it face first. It's just, what you're seeing is they're going to be more fun, which is what we thought they would be last year, but the injuries piled up. Now they have a few more wings and things like more fun.
Yeah.
That's that game against the Jazz, Dusty, they beat the brakes off them. They shot 43% from the field and 30% from the 3-point line.
Is that bad?
Like, it's just
they lack shooters, they lack creators outside of Anthony Simons
and Denny.
And Denny Abbey. Yeah. But I mean, they don't have what it takes to win basketball games.
No, and they're going to get, they'll be in games.
There are only two other teams in the NBA that have a lower projected win total this year.
Washington and Brooklyn.
Yep. Washington is at 20.5. Mm-hmm. They also opened at 22.5 mm-hmm. with Portland. And then Brooklyn, which is stayed idle at 19.5.
And they do have the worst roster in the NBA.
They really do.
It's not really particularly close. Portland has better roster, but you have to understand what goals they're trying to accomplish and what may or may not happen come the trade deadline. And everybody's like, oh, Jeremy's gone, Ant's gone, Rob's gone. It's like, not everyone's gone. I would be shocked if Anthony was gone. Jeremy, I think there's a decent chance of that.
Well, we all remember what the ultimate goal is.
The great suck-off. It's true.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I'm telling you right now, every freaking scrimmage and or game Cooper Flagg plays in, I get texts from scouts and execs. Like, hey, did you watch this? What do you think?
They like him a lot.
It's the excitement level is peaking, and we haven't really started yet.
Okay.
So, what's going to be crazy is it's not just going to be Portland and Washington and Brooklyn. There's going to be a Memphis this year
mm-hmm.
that craters, that injuries, whatever, piles up. The terrifying thing is the Oklahoma City Thunder, people are already saying this, the Thunder can swap picks with the Clippers. So if the Clippers just fall off a cliff and win the lottery,
oh no,
the Thunder could get Cooper Flagg. Yeah.
You shut your porky mouth.
Look, that's how terrifying of an alternate reality exists. Yeah. Yeah.
I hate that. That just made my heart sink.
That's still from the Paul George trade.
Oh.
They're the reaping the
Paul
last.
Paul George, who now plays for the 76ers will be out at least the opener tomorrow and potentially the first week.
At least
we'll
he didn't tear his knee.
Reevaluated this week.
Look, he hyperextended his knee and it was bad. I guess this is probably a good point to give a little bit of Blazers news.
Okay.
Shaedon Sharpe is tracking well. He's going to have a little look-see under the hood, see where he's at. He has not been cleared for return to play, but he is doing – he's basically pushing the bounds of, like, what he can do. He's elbowing the Blazers like, I want to play. So good news as it pertains to Shaedon Sharpe.
While they're probably just like, you know what, take your time.
They are, look, if
they
he is,
shouldn't let him out no, there till he is on full
yes,
tilt
full go.
Boogie.
I, wink, wink, nod, nod. I've talked to people that they asked the literal question. If he's at 95%, are you going to let him go? No. Yeah. If he's at 98%, are you going to let him go? No. He needs to be at 100% with that before they let it go. They are going to take caution with this, regardless of what Shaedon wants to do. Your starting lineup tomorrow night will be Anthony Simons, Tumani Kamara, Denny Avdija, Jeremy Grant, DeAndre Ayton.
All right.
That is your starting lineup.
God.
That's going to happen.
That does sound like a team that should win some games as a lineup.
Well, your next two off the bench are a second-year point guard, Scoot Henderson, a rookie big man, and Donovan Klingon.
And
then probably Chris Murray and Ryan Repair because of some injuries on the back end.
Come back down to earth.
There you go. A lot of young guys.
All right.
And then as far as Robert Williams III is concerned, he was on his return to play stuff from the hamstring. He's been sick as a dog. So he wasn't even in the building for the past week. So he will not go tomorrow night.
All right.
I would imagine if he does go Monday, I think Monday Monday they're in Sacramento. They come back Monday or Tuesday or Wednesday. I think it's Wednesday. So probably in a week, I think I'd imagine he's probably good to go, if not a little bit earlier. So
they just don't. A week? He's been that sick?
Well, it's just about, he was never able to get up to, like, game shape because he didn't get to
November 1st, Friday, yeah. against the Thunder.
Okay.
Yikes.
Yeah. I think that's probably about right, but he might be back sooner.
All right. So. Hey, let's get back to some NBA starts tonight. Mm-hmm. Congratulations, you made it.
Hey, there we go.
It seems like we just had the NBA Finals.
You want to make some picks later?
We'll
do it tomorrow.
We can do it tomorrow. Okay. There's only two games tonight. All right, we fine. Can do it. We could do it today.
That's it tomorrow.
All right. Let's get back to some football.
Fine.
The Oregon Ducks are number one. Mm. Don't tell that to Dan Lanning. Next on The Fan. The Oregon Ducks are number one in the country. And we tried to predict what Dan Lanning would say in his first media availability since the number one ranking.
I feel like we did pretty good.
I didn't think he'd come this hard the other way. I thought he'd be like, yeah, okay, that's for the fans, but, that means nothing to us here. And he'd just kind of move on.
I think he Dan Lanning'd harder than we thought he would Dan Lanning.
Boy, yes, he did, but I love this.
You guys were ranked number one in the AP and the coaches poll. Just what does it mean for you as a leader of this program to bring it back to number one for the first time since 2012?
Who cares?
Now, if you only heard that and you didn't see it, Lanning said it with a smile. Like, it was just like, who cares? You know, doesn't want to talk. He is a guy that does not want to talk about that whatsoever.
It is undeniable, which means it can't be denied.
Having that kind of get into the locker room and all that stuff, I can tell you this much, that they're not talking about that, and any talk of that is going to get shot down in that facility and around the Oregon program.
I mean, that's not really surprising, is it?
No. And the weird thing about this team, and we were talking about this yesterday, with the good and the bad of kind of, you know, a cult locker room, right? The bad side was exactly what we heard from Miles Garrett and Jameis Winston on the bad side of what kind of that cult following in a locker room, and had that mentality of we are all pulling for the same thing and everybody buys in or you get out of the way, right? There is good and bad that can come out of that. Obviously, the Miles Garrett, Jameis Winston quotes, bizarre, weird. I still can't wrap my head around what they said. But the good of having a mentality where everybody buys in, even in that the weird coach speak, you know, Ducks versus Ducks, it's us versus us every week, they actually believe it and they buy into it.
You have to. Like, you can't sit there and lie through your teeth over and over and over and over and over again and not believe it at some point in time. Because at some point in time, the lie becomes the truth.
Yep.
When you say it enough times, it just becomes, like, that's the whole point of, like, the negative talk versus positive talk. Like, don't talk down on yourself, because eventually your brain will think, you know, X, Y, or Z. It's like why you always hear about athletes finding a way to find a chip to motivate them. If you just say it enough, legitimately, it's so insane that our brains are this stupid sometimes.
Just a kid from Akron.
But you just say it enough times, and you start to believe it. It's like Kirby Smart. Nobody believed in us.
Yeah. Yeah.
Nobody believed in you, huh, Kerb?
Yeah, only because they picked against us on college game day.
It's like, what the hell?
Yeah, that is, if you are a fan, that is what you want to hear. And that's kind of the way that they approach it, though. And that's the way all of the programs that are the upper echelon of college football approach it, is that those rankings, and this is what we talked about yesterday, those rankings are for the fans, right?
Yeah.
I mean,
they don't matter until the final 2 weeks of the season.
Nobody is reigning a week 9 national champion.
I mean, some people might. Some people might, but, you know.
Nobody is going to sit there and be like, you see, we got it. We're there. And the game against Illinois, it's going to be, this is the one I've been saying for a while. This one could get feisty. I mean, Oregon is now 21.5 point favorites. That thing opened at what, 28.5? Something like that?
Mm-hmm.
Didn't
no, it come 25.
25
yeah,
and a half?
So, yeah, Purdue was the 28 yeah. and 20 a half.
And a half yeah.
opened,
this
yeah.
is 25.
Yeah.
And it's this is at 21 and a half. Mm-hmm. Illinois is efficient in with their offense.
At 25, I'm taking Illinois to cover.
They create an obscene amount of turnovers. Mm-hmm. I mean, they have created 13 turnovers. They have 8 interceptions this year. Okay?
Opportunistic.
Their offense has thrown a interception this mm-hmm. year. Singular. They've got...
Good place to be.
Yeah.
Positive turnover differentials. Super useful in college football.
They've got Jakus, who's NFL Sunday type...
Yeah, 6'3", 280-pound pass rusher that's twitchy is super useful.
They also have a really good receiving core. I mean, is it as good as Ohio State's? No. No, it's not. But when you think of ways that they want to beat you, yes, they've got those ways. Luke Altmyer, their quarterback again, he's only thrown one interception on the year.
Is he going to be 15-1 good?
Yeah.
Okay.
15-1 touchdown to interception ratio on the season. He's completing 66% of his passes.
Is that the most Brett Bielema quarterback you've ever heard of?
Luke Altmyer?
Yeah.
Yeah. But this offense, though, it's got the Brett Bielema stamp on it.
Mm-hmm.
But they have familiarity with what Oregon does offensively, too, because their offensive coordinator coached with Will Stein at Texas San Antonio together. Now, It does have more of a Bielema runabout aspect to it. But there's a lot of familiarity with these staffs and how they operate and how they approach and offensively. And those are important, right? I heard Lanning say yesterday, their tight ends coach also was on staff with him at Georgia together. And he's been a good friend of Lanning's for years. I think Lanning said he went to high school with his wife. Yeah. Or Lane, what's his name? Robbie, oh gosh, already forgot his last name. But he went to high school with Lanning's wife. Mm-hmm. Like, they've known each other for years. There's familiarity with the staffs. Oregon has an obscene talent advantage, but you take this is a top 20 team that is 5-1, has lost one game this season. It's not like you're rolling out against a bunch of schlubs or 6-1. They're a good football team. They're coming into Autzen. Oregon has an extra day. They've been playing at a really high level. But if you start letting that, you know, as the Vancouver Ford text line points out, this is the Nick Saban rat poison.
Mm-hmm.
If you let the rat poison slip in, all of a sudden, these games get a lot tighter.
The coaches can't tell you suck, but they also can't congratulate you either.
Yep.
There's a happy medium that you have to live in, and that is the only way a successful program can be successful in their minds.
Yeah, look, there's this aspect of it, too. I just watched Purdue put up a goose egg on Friday night. Illinois seems solid, but I can't figure out how they gave up 49 points to that offense. They were up by 24 at halftime. They let their foot off the gas.
Yep.
100% let their foot off the gas. And the reason why you see 49 points get put up on the board, when a team lets their foot off the gas, and on top of that, you have a quarterback that you don't have a lot of tape on, a play caller in which you don't know his tendencies, what he wants to do. Like, Oregon had the advantage of watching a game and saying, okay.
This looks familiar.
We know what they want to do here, you know? And a team that had an aversion to throwing the football for an entire quarter in Purdue. That wasn't the team that played Illinois. Now, is that because they saw something that they wanted to exploit in Illinois? Yeah, Illinois, the talent advantage is in Oregon's favor on Saturday. But
again, Oregon should win.
It's a good team.
But again, if you're giving me 25, I'm taking the 25.
Yeah. 25 is a lot.
That's a
dude.
Lot. And that's not, look, Illinois is not a great team, but they're a good team. And it's hard to beat a good team by 25, even if you are a top five team in the country.
Yeah. Yeah, it is.
It's tough.
Yeah, it is.
Come up for our worst day on the web. You know, I brought in some fresh focaccia bread pizza today. Apparently, I didn't bring what goes along with the pizza, which, according to one restaurant, is cocaine.
Oh.
Yeah. We'll get to that and more coming up here next on Danny and Dusty. That's the name of the show. But first, it's Big Canoe Sports and Update.
That's that Hawaiian burger joint.
It's time for today's worst day on the web.
with Danny and Dusty on Odyssey and 1080 The Fan.
Well, that sucks.
This is like one of those old wives' tales that turns out to be 100% true. There was a pizzeria in Germany, in Dusseldorf. I love saying Dusseldorf. It's a fun name.
It is. This is a great name.
If you're from Dusseldorf, do you say you're from the Dorf?
Probably.
Probably?
I can see it.
Yeah, you're from the Dorf.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They do so hard there.
Yeah, you got to make sure it's not the Dwarf.
Mm.
It's the Dorf. You know?
You should be down by the small water.
Yeah.
It's a wharf and a dwarf.
So. Yeah.
Pizza number 40 was the best-selling dish at a Dusseldorf pizzeria. Police later discovered why. Because it came with a secret ingredient, a side of cocaine.
Oh, wow.
Mm.
Yeah, I have a large number 40 and...
Wait, that's not flour?
And 18 straws, please. They're like, wait, no beverage? No, I'm good.
Apparently, the police have been running an investigation since March of this year when they got a tip that the pizzeria was a front for a local, at least semi-local, distribution of cocaine.
All right.
They used 150 officers and searched 16 properties in 9 different cities.
Y'all want to buy some drugs?
Wait, so this was a chain?
It was the group that was doing it. So, yeah, they used pizza to it was an organized crime ring. Was what it was tied to.
Instead of Parmesan, where they just give you a little
packet of Coke? You know, that actually reminds me. I saw there was a TikTok video of a bird that got a little packet of what looked to be meth, a pigeon in New York, and it had pecked the bag open.
Uh-oh.
And the bird
that
was,
bird probably flew for days. It
was meth pigeons.
It was
that
literally
sounds
just,
terrifying,
right? That's our new like Sharknado.
It sounds like a sci-fi movie. Like they're like. From the people who brought you Sharknado, meth pigeons.
Yeah. But yeah, I was like, oh God, well, there's one pigeon, there's more. And you should like,
was Mike
little...
Tyson in that? My carrier pigeons are messed out.
Well, then he got attacked by those pigeons, and that's where my back is broken came from.
Spinal. I've got to read this chief inspector's name. Chief Inspector Michael Groff
back
von Moltke.
I'm sorry, say that name again.
Chief Inspector Michael Groff von Moltke.
Yeah, okay, yeah, that
God,
makes
I
sense.
Love German names, right?
Yeah.
He said it was one of the most sold pizzas. A packet of cocaine was placed under each pie. That was news to us, surprised us, because the owner had never been accused of drug crimes. The pizzeria's
it's advertising...
It's
always the last one you think of.
Right? The advertising slogan for the pizzeria was, "We deliver everything to you."
Yeah, well, they quite literally do.
They were not messing around.
It was not immediately clear what the business charged for the number 40 or what its toppings were. Even if we knew, we wouldn't release it, a police spokesperson said.
Why? Why wouldn't they? I want to know what kind of pizza the number 40 is.
Yeah, like, was it like anchovies and like nobody wanted it?
It's like if they're putting Coke under the pizza, like tell me what that pizza
also,
is.
Also, was this off menu?
Oh, no, the extra anchovies. What was that from? That was a pizza. It was a...
Ninja Turtles.
No, Can't Buy Me Love. Because he was the pizza delivery boy, and that was the code word.
Yes.
Extra anchovies.
Because nobody ever says that.
Yeah.
The girl in that movie, by the way, died. Like, young.
Really?
Yeah. The main character.
Wow.
Yeah.
Not McDreamy, obviously.
No, not McDreamy. He's still kicking. Oh. And still McDreamy.
During the raid, they found 1.6 kilos of coke, 400 grams of weed, and 268,000 euros in cash.
Hmm.
When officers arrived to question the 36-year-old shop owner, there's your first clue, the Croatian national allegedly threw a bag stuffed with drugs out the window, and it fell into the arms of officers waiting outside.
On the YouTube chat, Duncan on my shoes says on the box the pizza, did it say, this is definitely only pizza in this box?
What is that? Was it?
No drugs. Definitely not any drugs in here.
This guy's got to be wearing a tracksuit, right? Like, I mean, every single thing is leading me to believe he was arrested in a tracksuit.
Nice thick gold chain with a medallion.
What was the owner of the shop's name?
They've not been released yet, but one of his runners was a 22-year-old Russian-born MMA fighter who was known to police and authorities because he was dealing cocaine and large amounts of weed in violation of recently liberalized drug laws. Also suspected of repeatedly attacking and robbing rival dealers, one of whom was allegedly held hostage for 2 days before a large amount of hashish was stolen from his home.
It sounds it's all tracking right now. Everything is tracking.
So, yeah, they scooped up 16 different people in this little deal, in which they found a house that had over 300 marijuana plants and a bunch of other illicit drugs and money. So, yeah. Also indicated into...
Wait, what drugs are legal in Germany right now? I mean, they said the new laws...
They're pushing towards legalization of weed. They're like... who is it right now? They have medical legal, but not. You have to remember when we first started legalizing, it was the medical with card, and then it was medical without card, and then it was it? There was something other like red tape thing they had to cover there before it went fully legal. But there,
you had to be like a provider, like
that's it. Yeah. Yes. So they're like in the gray area stages right now.
Yeah. Well, I just looked this up. As of April 1, cannabis for all purposes is totally legal.
Oh, it is. So maybe it's the quantities that is the hang up now.
Yeah. Hashish also legal,
which is weird because that's a dark one.
Carfentanil.
Oh, man, we're just making things up now.
Cathinone.
Caffeine.
No.
And fentanyl.
Cathinone. I don't know any of those last two.
So those new German designer drugs.
Yeah. But this is the thing, though, is that they're running them out of a pizza shop, not a dispensary.
Oh, bath salts.
Those are legal?
Yeah, that's what that is. Cathinones. Synthetic cathinones are lab-made stimulants. They're bath salts.
I guess Florida man found a new vacation spot.
Okay.
Yikes.
Amphetamines.
Wow.
I didn't know what that was. I've never heard the scientific property name for it
never,
at all. So.
Never heard of it. This sounds scary.
The number 40 was clearly the Bolivian marching pizza. And a hash pizza is codenamed salad. Pretty good. Not going to lie.
The number 40, was it the goose stepper?
Wow. That comes with the sausage.
It's got to be something spicy, right?
Mm.
Clear out your sinuses.
Oh, yeah. Horseradish? Yeah, wasabi?
Wrong side of the continent.
Mm. Well, I'm saying, look, man, Germans aren't anything spicy.
Sure, they got some spicy mustards for those wieners.
I'll take the large deviated septum, please.
Yeah, there you go. But this is like when you hear about the massage parlors.
Special?
Yeah. This is a lot like when you hear about the massage parlors. Like, no, that place is actually a little... a little rub and tug.
Yeah.
It's like, no, it's not. It's not that. And then you find out, oh, yeah, no, it actually was.
Whoa, the news seems to say indeed it is.
Indeed it was. And that's what you find out with this pizza place. Man, that number 40, it comes with cocaine. What if you accidentally ordered the off-menu pizza number 40 and that's how the cops found out?
They're like, whoa,
there's a bag of cocaine on my pizza.
I really just was trying to get a number 40, guys.
Yeah, it's on a good.
I like extra anchovies. Here. I don't know how this got underneath my pizza.
So, all right. That's your worst day on the web. Coming up next, look, we've talked about the Bucks and the 49ers being beat up. We also did not mention the Los Angeles Rams. Beat up, and it might lead to them trading away one of their franchise stalwarts. Coming up here next year on Danny and Dusty, 10 of the Fan. The LA Rams going through it, ladies and gentlemen. They are beat to death. Down in the depths of the NFC West. And not even maybe, but are very much open to the idea of trading one of their franchise icons in Cooper Kupp.
If the Rams are willing to take on the salary, I heard that they're willing to do. So they are definitely open to trading Cooper Kupp. So we'll see if they'll be able to get a deal done. I just don't think Kansas City has even enough money, even if the Rams were to take on some of that salary. That's been the problem and the reason why they haven't been able to go after a Davante Adams, an Amari Cooper, like we've seen other teams be aggressive with.
Ooh.
That was Diana Rossini on Dan Lempertard talking about the fact that the Chiefs would love the idea of being able to add Cooper Kupp, but they just don't have the financial flexibility to pursue that. But this also means that Cooper Kupp is out there and could be had, which is kind of insane to think about.
Yeah, like that is being taken as Cooper Kupp is available, but we see this all the time with the Chiefs. Like, teams are calling, and we all know this. This was like the whole Damian Lillard thing. Mm-hmm. Like, teams are calling, but if you don't have anything to offer, why take it?
Well,
and Puka Nacua has been designated for a return, so he is inching back. I don't know. The haul for Cooper Kupp would have to be pretty
Tyler
good in draft capital. But
if the Rams are openly, willingly taking on real salary, it definitely sounds like there's more than just he's could be made available. It sounds like he's very much available. Otherwise, why would you do it?
I don't know. There's also something been floated about Matthew Stafford's availability, too. I mean, you may just see the Rams just pulling the ripcord on this entire season as
they
sit.
And if you do it early enough, you can get it. You get ahead of it.
Yeah, they're only one game down in the loss column.
Because
the first place in the NFC West.
So bad.
But
they're so beat up.
Yeah, and all they do is they beat the Rams. Or the Raiders, sorry. They beat the Raiders.
They barely squeaked that out.
And they beat the 49ers earlier in the year.
Who are a mass unit themselves.
Yeah. That would be a wild turn of events if Cooper Kupp is, they give him the deal, they pay him. And
Don retires, you trade Cooper Kupp, Sean McVay says, see you later, the Rams reset.
Again, I just don't understand how all these teams seem to be able to afford everybody. Like the Chiefs could be able to bring him on.
I mean, if they did, it very clearly would require some pretty insane finagling.
Yeah, and taking on a lot of money, and probably from a defense that has been carrying the Chiefs so far. But if you get a guy like Cooper Kupp,
then it becomes worth it very quickly.
Yeah, Cooper Kupp's, good Lord, $29.78 million against the cap next year, $27.3 in 2026. There is an out after this year where if the Chiefs were to take him on and they got out of that deal, it would be a $22.2 million dead cap hit. So, I don't know. That seems like I don't understand how this would all make sense. But as Diana said, the Rams would have to take on significant salary, and they seem open to it.
Which is
what would that salary
insane.
Look like? Because you look at Mahomes, he's got a big cap number. Mm-hmm. Joe Tooney does. Juwan Taylor, their right tackle. So you're going to give up a piece of your offensive line? I don't know about that. Are you going to be giving up defensive pieces from your team?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
It's all interesting, is what I'll say. But the Chiefs are probably going to have to look somewhere because Marquez Valdes-Scantling signed with the Saints.
Patrick Mahomes has a $66 million hit next year. Chris Jones has a $35 million hit next year. Tooney has a $27 million hit next year. And you're telling me they're going to bring on 29 more?
What? NFL salary cap is fake.
It is fake.
We've said this many times.
It is fake. Wow. That'd be a hell of a thing, though, man. And the rich would get richer. We've seen it before. I would not rule anything out. I think it'd be interesting to see kind of what some of these teams, the directions that they do go. If the Rams really are in sell mode and they want to get rid of guys, like where would a Matthew Stafford end up? Where would he land? You know,
it definitely feels like he would definitely become available, right?
If you're getting rid of Cooper Kupp,
yeah,
probably.
Like
it'd be like a 1 year rental for a team.
Yeah. Well, and the one place that got mentioned by some random dude was the Vikings, in like basically a quarterback for quarterback deal.
Darnold for, Stafford? I don't know about that. Who else would take, but who else is like win now, doesn't have a quarterback? Cleveland wouldn't do it because they can't afford it.
They can't afford it, yeah.
It's like Eddie Murphy and Delirious. They can't afford it.
But then again, you think that with Kansas City. Who the hell knows right now?
Giants.
Oh, you know who else could use a good receiver, though?
Huh?
They share a stadium with the Rams.
Yeah, the Chargers.
They could sure use a receiver.
Pair Ladd McConkey with Cooper Kupp.
Oh, my God. The white guys unite. Wonder Twins unite. Father and son duo.
Yeah.
For anybody not getting it, it's because he looks like smaller. Cooper Kupp, Ladd McConkey, because he's white.
I'm following you there. I'm getting you there. I'm picking up what you're putting down.
Did you see Julian Edelman talking about this? Yeah. Of like how every white wide receiver, you just get compared to every other white wide receiver, even though their games are entirely different.
Yeah, well, because
I think it's with Cooper Kupp he was talking to.
Your small white receiver. Yeah. Julian Edelman and Cooper Kupp are nothing alike.
Nothing alike
as receivers.
At all. They're
except
white.
For being white and playing in the slot.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Otherwise, entirely different.
Boy, that'd be a big pickup if somebody were to be able to get Cooper Kupp, though.
Right?
I mean, he is a game changer.
Yes, absolute dude.
Game changer.
So, there you go. There's a little bit of a mild update to what could possibly happen in the NFL. A lot of wide receivers changing places.
That's spicy.
That could be a power disruptor.
Yeah. And right? then Stafford, by the way, if you're wondering what Stafford has left on his contract.
Didn't he get one more year tacked onto that thing?
He has got an out after next season.
Yeah.
So it would not be a one-year rental. He's $53 million.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Next year. Wow.
Yeah. He's still really good.
Sure.
Like how many quarterbacks are genuinely better than him?
Right now? Yeah, not a lot.
Not a lot.
Not a lot. Not a lot. Nobody to throw to. And that is just
winner.
Signal has been sent. The flare has been shot into the air. Rebuild.
I mean,
rebuild.
That makes sense for the Rams, right? That they always seem to kind of be ahead of it.
Yeah. Yeah. Get out in front of it early.
It's better to pull that ripcord early than to wait too long.
And
kind of
it gets sideways.
Kind of Patriots-y, but a whole lot less. We're on to Cincinnati.
Sean McVay might be gone, though.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. I think if they pull that ripcord, he was already dancing around it. I think he's gone.
Well, he said when
gonna
the
retire
day Aaron,
before he's 40.
They said the day Aaron Donald retires,
I'm out.
He's out. And Aaron Donald retired, and he's still around for this year.
What was that thing Dabo Swinney said, too?
Oh, Dabo.
Yeah,
the day players get paid is the day I find something new to do.
Mm-hmm.
Well, you're still coaching, Dabo.
Still waiting on that one.
I think with McVay and Dabo, it's probably both the same reason they get paid a metric crap ton to coach football.
McVay would be so good on TV.
Oh,
though.
God, yeah. He would immediately replace Brady as the number one in that
room. I have an issue with his beard. That's the only thing that bugs me is his beard. I don't know what it is. It's like the fact that it goes straight.
That it's
very
too good?
Well managed.
Well, it's like straight across from the top of the mustache over to the beard. It's like a straight line. It just drives me crazy.
That's
bananas.
What happens when you have a symmetrical face.
Mm. Model.
It happens.
Yeah.
I know.
Married to a model.
It's
not surprising.
Look, it's hard being handsome.
Mm, right?
Trust me.
It's tough out here. All right, coming up next. It's Tuesday afternoon, 2 o'clock-ish, which means it's time for three up, three down, three things we like, three things we didn't. Coming out of the NFL weekend that was here on Danny and Dusty, 10 of the Fan.